You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I am so excited. Top five artist on my list.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Making his annual pilgrimage to Kansas City tomorrow night at Grinders. Michael Franti will be in town tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot wait.
There is a slight chance of rain throughout the day tomorrow, but it should be nice and clear by the time Franti takes the stage.
It's always sunny when Franti comes to town.
Yep, Sam. Always sunny.
He is a ray of sunshine.
Always.
Oh, I am so excited. Cannot wait till tomorrow night.
I almost died on my way into the building.
Yeah, what happened? I mean,
and then Sam almost died getting out of his truck yesterday. So let's have this discussion.
What's going on?
There are very few of us listening who would be able to do the extremely dangerous job of climbing up a radio tower to do repairs. Mm-hmm. I think like 1 in 100,000 people are comfortable suspending up in the air.
No chance.
What? How many stories is that up there, Scott?
I would say that that is probably 250 to 300 feet up, if not.
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
Okay, right. So I noticed they were doing some work on the tower the other day. And I,
which is on top of the building,
I stopped my car and I craned my neck and looked all the way up. And he's not like on the second rung. He is in a safety harness all the way at the top. And I remember making a mental note of that. And I thought, how many of us listening right now,
I couldn't do it,
would be able not to just do a job up there for several hours, but would even be able for a moment to get that high up without passing out from fright.
Well, and they're replacing those super big transmitter things, as if I know what I'm talking about. But they're the large things that they're replacing. They're not just changing
a
light bulb.
Talking to everybody out there, like the window washers of the world, all of those jobs, construction where you're up so high, I just wouldn't be able to do it. I don't consider myself that afraid of heights.
Oh, I am.
But not that high. So anyway, I'm driving in and I noticed them again today. And so I go to look up and I'm like, God, he's up there again. And right as I formulate the thought, I see something flying down and I hit the brakes. He dropped a water bottle.
Oh, my.
And it just goes, bam, about, 30 feet in front of my car. But the look, I mean, my eyes just went, whoa. And the guy on the ground looked at me and goes, go around. And I'm like, yeah, I got the memo. I got you.
We're aware.
So I go around and I'm telling Sam this story. Like, I think I almost died on the way into work. And what happened to you?
On Tuesday. So I know that I probably shouldn't park over there while they're working on it, but I'm a creature of habit. That's my parking spot, right? So I'll change it up a little bit. I park a couple of spaces away just to be a little bit further away from them in case they were to drop something. And I get out of my truck and I hear, thoom. And I look down at my feet, and about 4 inches from my feet is what looks like a USB device. And it was just a card that they had pulled off of one of those machines. And I looked at the guy on the ground. I go, you guys missing something? And he just, with no concern in the world, yells up to the guy on the tower with a bunch of expletives. I won't include those. Watch where you're dropping.
Yes, really? A water bottle drop from a height of 300 feet could kill someone. While not as likely as a direct fall onto a hard surface, the water bottle's impact velocity combined with the force of hitting the water could be fatal. So I'm I'm going to avoid that area.
It would have dented your car really good, but it wouldn't have killed you.
Oh, it would have busted the windshield.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, it would have broken the windshield.
Yeah. Anyway, is it a metal water bottle?
I'm not complaining. I mean, I don't know how they even get up there, let alone do their jobs. But I'm now going to go wide around the workers that are doing that work.
You don't know how they get up there?
No.
You ever looked at the tower?
Well, there's little pegs on it.
Yeah, that's how they get up there.
It's a harness and pegs, which, by the way, I'm sure they're very professional and very good at what they do. I was watching when I pulled in today, one of the guys climbing down.
Oh!
And confidence is not the term that I would use to describe him climbing down that tower.
What do you mean confidence is not the term?
Please don't fall. Please don't
fall. He was hugging it and one step at a time.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. It did not look like this was his day job.
I remember years ago, and I was still married to Sean at the time, so pre-2009, I was helping Brenninger paint his house, and I'm on a ladder painting outside the second floor of his house, and I was petrified. On a ladder on the second floor. Now, it didn't help that as I'm painting, Brenninger is at the bottom shaking the ladder and going, are you scared yet? Now, that's not cool. But there is no way I'm up on a 300-foot tower.
I think I could do it.
No. No, you couldn't.
I've also bungee jumped 10 times in my life.
I think that's different.
But I think probably the first 10 climbs I'd be shaking in my boots, and then after that, watch me.
I think as you start climbing higher and higher, you're in your nature is to look down. Like, even though you're told just don't look down, you're going to look down. And then when I do that, my legs start shaking. My lower legs would start shaking uncontrollably, and that's when I would fall.
The one job, regardless of education, you could not do. So I don't want you to say, well, I could never be a doctor. If you had the education or the ability, the one job that is so scary to you, you could never do it.
Oh, that would be on the list. Window washing would be on the
list.
Window
washing?
I would not be able to go up that high.
Sam.
Now, a 300-foot tower is one thing. There are those 1,000-foot tall towers in the middle of nowhere.
No
and
way.
There's a red bulb on the top. And every 6 months, some guy gets the pleasure of climbing all the way to the top of that thing to change the red bulb. I'm never doing it.
He goes up with white pants, comes down in the brown.
Why is it raining? There was no rain in the forecast.
For me, roofer.
Oh, sure. Same thing. The peaks.
Mm-hmm. There is no way I could be a roofer.
Now, the one incredibly dangerous job that I would love, like if, you know, I could pick a different path in life just for the adrenaline of it, is an underwater welder.
An underwater welder?
They repair the oil rigs. Salt water is not very good to metal. They have to go down there and cut out hunks of metal.
But you'd like to do that job.
I think it would be incredibly interesting, and talk about an adrenaline rush.
I'll tell you this, scuba instructor or diver, I'm out.
I
have many, many friends who are certified. I love to snorkel. I have to be able to see the top, feel the top, reach the top. And I wouldn't, as much as I love sharks and I love the ocean and I love the water, I would not be able to go down. Like, my friends have told me how that training works and the buddy breathing system. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm too
How far underneath the surface of the water would you be comfortable? Like, even if you're snorkeling, would you be able to go 20 feet down?
No. Oh, God, no. No. I've done it before where you can see things like on the bottom. You're looking like when we're in Mexico, we were in Hawaii once and I snorkeled. I have to know the top is right there. Like 5 feet.
Like within reach.
Yeah, 5 feet.
Okay.
That's it.
Huh.
A good one from the text line, crop duster.
Now, are we talking about—
In an office?
In a plane or in a— Dang it. You stole my joke, Dana.
Why?
It's one of the most dangerous jobs in the world.
Because you're flying so low?
Correct.
Okay.
Hit a power line, hit a power pole. You're not surviving that.
Hmm. Okay.
And yes, text line, I know that underwater welders have a very low life expectancy.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you're down there and a wave comes at the wrong time, some weather moves in.
Yeah.
Because you're down there for a while. It's scuba diving with a welder in your hand.
What do you mean if a wave comes? I mean, there are waves constantly in the ocean.
Well, yeah, but
unpredictable
swells are
weather
sizes.
And swells, Scott. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that either. And speaking of weather, who in the Sam Hill keeps praying for rain? Did you see Channel 5's video overnight of the cars that just decided to drive through like 6 feet of water?
People aren't smart, Dana.
One of them was a truck, and I thought, okay, just because you drive a truck doesn't mean that's going to be a safe maneuver. One of them was a car, like a Honda. Have we not been over this, people?
We have.
Come on.
We actually didn't get that much rain out in
Who in a sedan thinks that is going to be a successful maneuver?
The Ward Parkway corridor, as it often is when there is a lot of rain, was a river.
There's always that one driver. I'm going to try it. Okay.
Now,
okay.
Did you guys get a lot in Overland Park?
No, not a ton, but it was loud.
Yeah, we didn't get very much.
For me, it started raining about 7:30, and it stopped raining about 9 this morning.
Wow.
A lot of thunder. My dog was going crazy.
What's your dog's name?
Barb.
That's right. Sweet Barb.
Sweet Barb.
Sweet Barb.
She was not a fan of the constant rumbles throughout the night.
We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Q39KC.com.
So it's controversial, but I love the geofencing of cell phones to narrow down the rapist, the murderer, the vandal. And it's controversial where police can ask for a search warrant from the phone companies.
Yeah.
And let's say a woman was burglarized and raped at 3 a.m. in Lawrence off of Tennessee Street.
That's actually a real crime.
Authorities can ask, and a judge will grant a narrow special warrant to see which cell phones may have been turned on in the area when the sexual assault occurred, like, say between 3:48 and 4:15 a.m.
That's how they ID'd Brian Koberger.
Brian Koberger. Yep. I was just going to say that, Sam. Brian
so
Koberger
odd. He
got
just
popped.
Happened to be there. Yep. At that exact time.
26 times.
So they're using this data.
Was it 26?
Yep, yeah, in the months before, Scott.
What a sicko.
They are using this data more and more to narrow down for all kinds of crimes. And we can have that discussion. Should it be violent crimes? Because within these warrants, it's also going to pick up cell phones of people that might just be out walking their dog at 4 a.m. It might pick up they have to do other.
Might pick up somebody out having an affair.
Well, what if you're a DoorDash driver, Scott? You know, it could pick up anyone in that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Criming, but also you just happen to be adjacent to someone criming.
Within a fixed period of time, maybe you're driving to work, you have a very early shift.
So that's where the sort of the controversy comes in. I think most Americans are okay with it, honestly, because if you're not the rapist, it's not going to be you they haul in. Like that, right?
Well, how do they know that you're not?
Because there's also DNA at the scene. You have to do more investigating. They can't just haul everybody in whose cell phone was there, right?
Well, but not in this crime that you're about to mention from the Kansas City Star.
Well, we're going
to
talk about
this. This is not a DNA likely crime.
So the FBI has executed a warrant in Parkville for a hate crime investigation involving Chase Bank. And I will tell you this, the photo of the suspect, even though he is masked, is clear as day. He has dark brown eyes and beautiful brown eyebrows, beautifully arched. Remember how they...
That's half of the male population
remember
in
how
America.
They caught, remember how they caught Mangione? Those eyebrows? Anyway.
All right.
Federal investigators are seeking cell tower data from major wireless providers as part of an ongoing investigation into a September 2024 arson and vandalism attack at Chase Bank at the construction site in Parkville. And by the way, it was $500,000 damage. According
Arson.
According to an FBI affidavit filed in April, the early morning attack was carried out by an unknown masked suspect, white male wearing gray hooded sweatshirt, black gloves, and a black face covering. Surveillance video shows him approaching the building and spray painting awful anti-Semitism things on the bank's exterior wall.
You can read that.
I know. It's so ridiculous. Right. The video also captured him throwing a Molotov cocktail, a homemade firebomb at the ATM, which started a fire that ultimately caused significant damage to the bank's structure. So here's the deal. Bullet holes went into the glass. Windows were shattered. $500,000 damage. It's the second time this bank has been defaced.
Why this bank in Parkville? Why?
Who knows, but he is going down, and here's why. In efforts to identify the suspect, the FBI has requested cell phone records and location data from all the cell phone providers, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. Hope you used Boost, dude. Of the three carriers, AT&T has already handed it over. The warrant, signed by a U.S. judge on April 26th, directed AT&T to turn over the records stored at their Florida facility, and it's my understanding that they did. This is a construction site. How many people do you honestly think in the middle of the night are illegally trespassing on a construction site, Scott? They probably already know who this is.
Well, they might. But when you ping somebody's cell phone data,
mm-hmm.
what is the circumference?
Well, on Life 360, it's 20 feet.
Well, but I don't think that when you ping somebody's cell phone, it's that close.
It is not. It's a triangulation based on whatever cell phone towers are nearby.
So, it's whoever's inside the triangle geographically.
So this goes back to my point. This is not the end-all be-all that this is the only piece of evidence they have and now they know who you are. Once they narrow down those cell phones, you work backwards and figure out, okay, we know it's a male. So all of the cell phones that come back to a woman, we can cross those off. You know,
cross them off the list. Asian.
You do their due diligence, and then you find brown-eyed eyebrow dude. Then you look at his social media. Oh, look, he's a bigot. Bingo, we've got him.
You know, the old Scott Parks,
the old Scott Parks would have said, get off my lawn because I didn't do anything wrong, and maybe I live near this construction site.
Yeah, Scott Parks from 10 years ago would have said, this is an overreach by the government, it's too much, you know, I have a right to go wherever I want without the government pinging my phone, et cetera.
Stalking you.
Yeah, to some extent. Now, having said that, I do think that there is a part of me that still believes that and still thinks that way. But I do think that there might be some middle ground that we could reach where once the government, you know, the government can triangulate all the cell phone data that they want. Once they figure out who actually did it, any information about me
and
an innocent party has to be completely destroyed.
Okay, according to the affidavit, analysts with the FBI's cellular analysis survey team will rule out the devices that appear to belong to any local residents during key time frames near the crime scene. So we need to look up, where is the Chase Bank in Parkville, okay? Chase Bank in Parkville. It's got to be right there. So you look up all the homes around it, and one could assume that this ding-a-ling that appears to be in his 20s doesn't own one of the $500,000 homes adjacent to the river down there.
I think that's a bit of an overreach.
Well, they're going to look at all of the homes, Scott, and rule out.
We have young people living in my neighborhood, and those homes are not cheap.
They're going to rule out the homeowners.
Why? Because one of the homeowners can't be an anti-Semite?
And doesn't
want that Chase Bank in their neighborhood?
My guess is they already have a line on who they believe this to be.
I guarantee
and
you that's
not
true.
The 80-year-old man that's lived in Parkville his entire life. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so this Chase Bank is on the corner of 45 Highway and North Melody Lane.
Using data analytics and cellular mapping, Scott, experts can pinpoint phones that appeared only during the time of the attacks, a technique increasingly used in modern digital forensics. So let's say you have a serial rapist and there are 5 or 6 attacks in one town, the way we saw with Terry Blair so many years ago, right? Mm. You just start looking at the 6 different crime scenes. Whose phone was there every single time?
Okay, but what do you do, Dana? And this is important. What do you do with all the other cell phone data that you collect from all 6 of those scenes or all 3 of those scenes? Mm-hmm. To Sam's point, and my argument that once they find out who did it, you have to throw out, destroy all the other information on anybody else who may have been in that area.
I agree. And you know where this is the most problematic?
But do you think the government would really do that?
I don't know. Do you know where this is the most problematic? Apartment complexes and crimes adjacent to an apartment complex. Because then the net that they are casting is wide.
But I have the right, I wouldn't, but I have the right to mysteriously be in downtown Parkville having an affair with a mistress. I have the right to just drive to the Whataburger or check the
Whataburger next door. If the data shows that you were at the Whataburger and then left at 3 minutes, this attack took longer than 3 minutes.
It wouldn't show that I was at the Whataburger. It would, because as what Sam said, it triangulates. It would show that you were in that area
at that time.
Sure.
It doesn't specify where you were.
Okay, so here's where he has problems. There were 2 attacks, once in 2024 and once in 2022. So the odds that you're going to be at the Whataburger twice, the exact same time that Nutso is
vandalizing. Get my cravings on July 25th. Always.
It's a great
crazy
time for a Whataburger.
I'm telling you, I don't have a problem with this because it puts an end to the serial rapist. Bye.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. So what did the meteorologist Reed Timmer just say?
So you remember the Dominator that we would always talk about. He's now got four different Dominator vehicles.
Is that the vehicle that he uses to chase tornadoes?
That is correct. Thank you to Mike from Topeka, who hit me up on Facebook with the video from Reed Timmer. I know we've got a chance for rain this evening, but I definitely did not know that there was anything bigger in the forecast. And according to Reed Timmer and his radar, there might be.
Huh. So he's in Kansas City?
Stand by, trying to get the video.
Okay.
There is just, it seems like no end to this in the last several weeks.
It's been a lot of rain.
There are still people who haven't recovered from the big rains and flooding in homes a couple of weeks ago.
There were 10. Oop.
Good afternoon, everybody. I am targeting a tornado threat that hit me right between the eyes this morning. I was going through Scooter's Coffee, getting some breakfast, and then a 5% area popped up near Kansas City. I am targeting eastern Kansas up into northwestern Missouri for the development of supercell storms between about 4 to 6 p.m. These storms are going to be capable of a tornado threat as they move up toward the Kansas City metro, and they're going to build down through the Flint Hills and then back a little bit closer to the Oklahoma-Kansas border. I've even still got the Dominator kayak on.
And then he starts talking about his kayak.
I want a Dominator kayak.
Fishing instead.
The Dominator.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said he was going to go catch about 50 bass today, but instead he is headed to our fine city because according to him, there is a chance for tornadoes this afternoon.
What was the percentage? 5 to 10? Did I hear that in the beginning?
He said a 5% window. I don't know what that means.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a meteorologist, but he, as we know, is licensed, educated, and knows what he's doing.
I don't dispute that. What I do dispute is the fact that he thought he would catch 50 bass.
That I dispute.
That's a lot of bass.
Yeah.
And probably you're not allowed to catch that many.
Well, you need to catch and release.
Okay. Got it.
Anyway, just may want to be weather aware this afternoon. We're not getting any indications like that from our local weather teams. But if Reed Timmer sees it,
yeah,
something to keep an eye on.
If you see 5 feet of water under a low-lying area, don't drive through it.
Dana's vow breaker was admitted to the hospital in Lawrence yesterday.
I don't have a vow breaker.
Bill Self was taken to the hospital yesterday after feeling unwell and experiencing some concerning symptoms. According to KU, Self was taken to Lawrence Memorial, where he had two stents inserted.
Yes, and Scott, this is on the heels of his health scare.
It was 3 years ago?
It wasn't that long ago. In fact, he had just said
it was 2023.
Yes,
2023.
He just said in an interview he was just starting to feel 100% like himself, like normal, and then this happened. Hmm. And Johnny and I were talking about this. He's the first one that told me that this morning. He said, you see Bill Self's in the hospital again? Is that job so stressful? Or is it just heart disease is prevalent? You know what I'm saying? Like, or is that job just so stressful? Have they looked at heart disease issues in college and professional coaching?
Well, I mean, if
the yelling, the passion, the throwing of the jacket.
Then Bobby Knight would have died of a heart attack a lot sooner than he did.
Well, there are other indicators with habits that could make that more likely. But, I mean, you noticed after the health scare a couple of years ago, he was much more tame on the sideline.
That's true.
And we've seen the play.
So he's getting as well. He's getting ready to start his 23rd season with the Jayhawks. I have for like the last 2 months, thought that they are grooming Jacques Vaughn.
I said the same thing when they hired him.
To take that job. But I absolutely hate when teams pick an old player to coach their team.
Why? The players coming in and the current staff, maybe save one or two, wouldn't even have been around when Jacques Vaughn played.
I understand, and that's not necessarily what I'm getting at. The problem is when you hire a revered former player to coach your team, right?
Yeah.
Coaches are hired to be fired more often than not.
More often than not. And you also want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the guy.
Correct. You never want to follow a legend. And so, you know, it's like when Nebraska hired Scott Frost about 7, 8, 9 years ago to coach. He won a title as quarterback of Nebraska in 1997. I remember going to a game his first season, Scott Frost's first season. I mean, people were like, oh, we're finally, you know, we're going back to the greatness of Nebraska football. And there were T-shirts that said Bob Devaney, okay?
Okay.
Tom Osborne.
Okay.
Everybody else, Scott Frost. I mean, they put this guy on such a pedestal that there was no way that he could reach it. And what ends up happening? He gets fired by the athletics director, who was a former player with him on the 1997 championship team, who had to call Scott Frost into the office and say,
sorry,
you're out. Goodbye. I would hate to see, you know, and I think it would be very interesting if Jacques Vaughn was the coach of KU basketball. But at some point, if things aren't going well,
and
you have to fire a guy whose jersey's up in the rafters.
Awkward.
Very awkward.
Certainly. But they know going in, this is the profession they've chosen.
Fair point.
You know, you hope you do well. And not everybody hoists the trophy at the end of the year. When they play one shining moment, Scott, there's just one team at the top.
That's true.
When that song starts.
And what happens
every year
when Bill Self retires and Jacques Vaughn becomes the head coach and 20 years pass? I mean, Roy Williams never hoisted that trophy in all of his years at KU.
He did at Carolina.
That's true. 3 times. Okay. Apparently, part of I-35 was closed down at Vivian Road because a truck hauling an oversized load hit a bridge this morning.
Yeah, Independence Avenue did.
Yeah.
Except for this bridge took damage.
Oh, it
did.
Fair
point.
No bridge is built like the Independence
Fair
Avenue
point.
Bridge. Things taking damage one time and it's got what, 70 KOs?
Did they not measure the load on the back of this truck before it departed?
This also wasn't a short bridge. Like 13.6 is the standard height. This was higher than 13.6.
Huh. By the way, Happy Gilmore 2 comes out today.
Oh, I'm aware. Netflix, baby.
We've already received a handful of texts that say Happy Gilmore 2 is fantastic.
I have plans this evening to watch. I cannot wait. And by the way, Travis Kelce makes an appearance.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
It's going to be so funny.
Shirtless.
You get to see more of Travis than you've ever seen on the football field.
And by the way, they about broke the internet yesterday because Travis posted something on either Instagram or Facebook.
First time in their relationship, yes, Travis Kelce.
All of these photos of the two of them. Mm-hmm. And even my daughter this morning was like, do you think they're about to get engaged? And I go, what? And she goes, didn't you hear? There's photos of them everywhere. And she was like the third person that said this. Have you seen the Travis photos? And it's
really?
Just this beautiful collage of them over the last couple
Our
of years.
Relationship in pictures, yeah.
So why now?
Huh. I do take issue with the news outlets calling it a hard launch. A hard launch is typically when nobody knows that you're dating and then all of the sudden they find out you're dating. We all know they've been dating.
Okay. By the way, wait.
Uh-oh.
Billion.
From the text line, HG2 is awful.
Oh,
you have no
stop
soul.
It. Stop it. You cannot go into a movie like that and expect that there's going to be an Oscar nod for anyone. It is what it is. It's stupid. You're going to laugh and then you move on.
It's not supposed to be high-end intellectual plot lines.
No.
I would certainly hope not. If it is, I am going to be very disappointed.
If you walk away from that movie and you think, wow, that was deep, you've got problems.
Now, see, I am looking at the highest grossing lead actor roles, you know, that you're the lead actor in the movie.
Yeah.
Add them all up. Get it? Add them all up.
Uh-huh. I got you.
And where do they? Adam Sandler, I have long heard, is one of the highest grossing, if you take all of his movies, because he pumps one out a year, basically. And I just looked at a website. His movies have grossed $14.6 billion. Okay? I am literally looking at a list, and they have blackballed this guy.
You're talking about the top 10 highest paid actors?
Yeah.
They're all from the Avengers series.
No. Not paid. I'm talking about the money that your movies, when you're in the lead role, bring in.
Right.
And so when you take all the movies where Adam, and he's always the lead actor.
Yeah.
His movies have generated $14 billion over his career, which would put him at least at number two or number three.
So it's not because he's been blackballed. It's because most of his income hasn't come from the fact that he has been an actor in those movies. It's because his production company produces the movies.
Hmm.
So he is one of the richest men in Hollywood because he started his production company in 1998. Shortly after the Happy Gilmore success, Billy Madison success, he launched his own production company, and every single movie since then that he has been in came out of his shop.
Got okay. All right, that makes more sense then, because Scarlett Johansson is number one, Samuel Jackson is number two, Robert Downey Jr. is number three.
All of them are in a Marvel movie. All of the top 10.
You're right. No, not all. Tom Cruise is number six.
Oh, so, pardon me. Outside of Tom Cruise.
Vin Diesel's been in. You're right.
Vin Diesel.
They're all Avengers, Endgame. All of them are in Avengers Endgame. Eight of the 10 are in Avengers Endgame.
That's the other crazy. One, I believe, is Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana is number four.
And she's listed because of Avatar, but mm-hmm. she was also in Avengers.
Okay, 9 out of 10. The only one in the top 10 that was never in Avengers Endgame is Tom Cruise. Wow. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, here on KMBZ. Guess who just got back today? All right, this story here is from the New York Post. And what they did was they tried to find the 15 most overcrowded tourist destinations on the planet.
Okay.
Now, what they did was they started with the population of said tourist destination.
Okay.
The people who actually live there.
Got it.
And then the number of tourists that they get every year. And these are all countries, okay. It's not cities.
I've got one.
Okay.
There's one in Machu Picchu. I know it because I've seen the list.
Okay.
What's that big old wall called?
The Great Wall of China?
That one, but then there's also something in Machu Picchu.
Where is Machu Picchu?
I don't know. All the places Barb Porter goes that I can't find on a map.
China is not on the list.
China? Is the Great Wall's not on the list?
No, well, keep in mind, these are countries. The population of the country compared to the number of visitors, tourists that they get on any given year.
Oh.
Which would also disqualify Peru because Peru is a very large country.
Well, it has a very large population.
Yeah.
Well,
think smaller populations.
Right. So like Chile?
No.
Let's go with the Bahamas.
The Bahamas. Thank you, Sam. Number four.
Jamaica.
No.
Aruba.
No.
I got one. Iceland or Greenland?
Iceland, yes. Iceland at 11. Greenland is part of Denmark.
Think small.
I'm still stuck on the fact that we went from Machu Picchu to the Great Wall of China.
and when you take into account the population of China, they'd have to have a lot of tourists. A lot.
There's 5 billion people here today.
It just never ends. The planes just keep coming
in. All right. What about, where do people go? Like Italy? Somewhere in Italy?
Dana, small population.
Yeah, I'm
Let
out.
Me throw out.
Why do you ask me geographical things?
Croatia.
Croatia, thank you, Sam, is number 12 on the list.
Okay.
I had a Facebook friend who's from Croatia who told me last week, you've really got to go. You would love it. It's beautiful.
What about Portugal? And I've heard the same thing about Croatia.
No.
You keep picking giant countries.
I don't know how.
Well, Portugal's not giant, but
it's population-wise.
This is painful to listen to.
I'm trying to help her out.
We're running out.
I just can't even think of countries, let alone whether they're big or little.
Let's go for Ireland.
Ireland is not on the list.
Okay.
Let me give you just the top five.
Please.
And let's
put me out of my misery.
For the love of God in heaven. Number five is an island country in the Caribbean, St. Kitts and Nevis.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
It's
an island nation in the Caribbean.
Number four is the Bahamas. Okay. Number three is a city-state located inside of Italy called San Marino.
Okay.
Number two is a small country on the border between Spain and France called Andorra.
Why would you ask me a question about places I've never heard of?
And number one, tell me if you've heard of this one, the Vatican.
Yeah, definitely heard of that. And that is its own city.
It's its own country.
Right.
Local population of 882. Tourists per year, 6.8 million.
Okay, when we get back, I kind of wanted to make this a topic today. Some of the world's greatest wildlife experiences are being ruined because of tourists. And there's a photo that went viral today because of it. These things are supposed to be migrating like wildebeests. But then you look and there's like 50,000 people in Jeeps trying to get a photo.
We'll get to that in just a moment, right after the news.
I don't know where it was, but it was somewhere not here.
I can't.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.